This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
So I'm Adam Thornhill. I'm a programmer, and I have my background in programming and psychology. And what I've been trying to do over the past 15 years is to combine these two fields. So I look at our technical discipline from a psychological perspective.
This is the first episode of a series with Adam Thornhill about code as a crime scene. Now let me introduce a special guest.
Hello, my name is Len Gresky. By day, I help large companies improve their effectiveness in their product development.
Adam Thornhill is a programmer who combines degrees in engineering and psychology. He's the CTO and founder of CodeScene, where he develops tools for software engineering intelligence. Adam is also the author of multiple technical books, including Lisp for the Web, Software Design X-Rays, Patterns in C, and the best-selling Your Code is a Crime Scene. Adam is also a software researcher who has spoken at TEDx and GoTo Conference. His other interests include modern history, music, retro computing, and martial arts. So Adam, retro computing, what do you got in your office nowadays that's retro?
Oh, in my office, I don't have so much retro, but you know, at home, I have my C64 collection. Ah. That's pretty retro, I would say.
You have a collection of C64, so like the different lineups, they had other models. I don't recall what they are right now.
Yeah, C64 and C128, but I'm mostly interested in the software, actually, so that's where I have most of my collection, the games.
Oh, cool. All right, yeah, I have a collection at my mom's house still in a closet somewhere, and I think about bringing it to where I can play with it a little bit, maybe teach my kids how to use it. Yeah. Okay, so at what point in your life did you start putting resources behind studying the economic impacts of software design?
I like to think that I started maybe 12, 13 years ago. That was before CodeScene. That's what back in my old life as a software consultant. And the reason I got interest in this was because I very often ended up being in this crossfire between engineering and product, where a product were pushing for new features. I knew the software stack, and I knew that there was no way we're going to be able to implement these features in a good way or a timely way. So I tried to push back and say that, you know, we have a ton of technical debt here. We cannot go ahead with these features, right? We need to clean up the code first. And I simply thought that those conversations were really, really hard to have. Because to a non-technical stakeholder, software is virtually a black box, right? So I wanted to find a way of kind of showing the impact of technical debt and poor code, the impact it has on the bottom line of our company, right, in terms of delivery speed, defect rate, that kind of stuff. So that's where I get interested in that. And once I founded CodeScene, I spent a lot of time kind of building up a database that's large enough that we can actually prove the impact of technical debt. So that's kind of the short version of it.
I was super excited when I saw your, I think it's Code Red talk, on YouTube, because I've been in this journey that, so as a technical coach who teaches developers code craft skills, frequently I have difficulty selling that service to people in the C-suite, but maybe engineering managers get it. So when I saw that talk, I got really excited and I wanted to talk to you. So thank you so much for coming on the show, because I want to learn more. So thank you. What are the economic impacts of software design, and, you know, why should I, as a manager or somebody who doesn't work directly with developer teams, why should I care about them?
As a manager, you should care about code quality and the quality of your design, because having a healthy code base is a massive competitive advantage for any company. It turns out that what we see in our research is that if you have unhealthy code, you're going to be more than twice as slow as your competitors that might have healthy code, right? So poor code quality makes you go slower you're going to need much, much longer to ship new features. And what's even worse is that with poor code quality, you're going to increase the uncertainty in all your estimates. So you might think that something is going to take you 1 month to ship. Maybe it's a new capability. But if you have unhealthy code, it can actually take 10 times longer. It can take 10 months. And of course, you're also going to increase the defect rate. So you're going to ship more defects into production. That's going to impact the product maturity experience. So you're probably going to have less happy customers. So those are the fundamental reasons. And all of these numbers that I throw at you, they are proven via peer-reviewed research, right? And it's available for anyone to look at via the Code Red papers.
Oh, cool. So is Code Red papers a portfolio of papers?
Yeah, it's at least the beginning of our portfolio. We have published 3 papers so far. So the first one is actually called Code Red. And there's 2 versions of it. It's their formal research paper where you can kind of look into all the details. If you want to show something to your manager, then I recommend the white paper, the Code Red white paper, which is a little bit more accessible. And then we have started to do a couple of follow-up papers where we look at related aspects like how does poor code influence code familiarity and onboarding costs? And it turns out there is a significant impact there as well, right? You will get twice as slow when you try to onboard a developer in poor code compared to healthy code. So these costs, they kind of keep popping up over and over again if you live with technical debt and poor code.
You know, and that's what I appreciate about your strategy is that you've broken things down into economic terms, where I feel like a lot of technical craftsmanship or people teaching technical craftsmanship it's like they want to describe it like exercise. Everybody should get exercise because it's good for you. So go get exercise. But there's no there's no economic conversation about it. And so if you're kind of on the if you're not very willing to exercise, then you just don't do it.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. That's actually what surprised me. Because before we even did this research, I spent a lot of time trying to look at other research papers, right? Because I thought for sure that someone must have studied it before. But we actually couldn't find a single source that supported the statement that code quality is important. And yet everyone in the industry kind of more or less agrees that that's probably the way it is, right? But no one could ever prove it. And I think that unless we're able to relate this to financial impact, it's going to become really, really hard to get the attention of at least C-level managers. And I think it's really important because unless we get their attention, we are going to fight a constant losing battle as engineers. It's very, very hard to motivate things like, yeah, it feels better to do it this way, or it's going to look better, right? We need to put some actual numbers on it. So I think it's very important.
How do you influence business stakeholders to care about the quality of software design?
My experience, and I've been fortunate to talk to a lot of C-level managers, my experience is that they're not particularly hard to influence. They actually like to understand these things. But I think a lot of C-level managers have kind of learned that they're not supposed to understand software. It's too complicated, right, and too detailed. So the moment you can show them that, hey, you can actually get insights into how your software evolves and how it connects to your speed of delivery and roadmap execution, then they tend to listen. So what I usually do is I sit them down and I walk them through the key findings in Code Red, the ones we summarized earlier. And then I also work a lot with visualizations, the kind of visualizations I show in Your Code is Crime Scene or in Code Scene. I kind of tend to show that to C-level managers because once they can see a map of their system and see which parts of the system that are in good shape and where the delivery risks are, then a lot of things tend to fall into place to them, right? So I had one story that really stands out. A couple of years ago, I spoke to a CEO of a large company. And it was a very experienced CEO, but he wasn't a programmer, right? So I did this exercise with him. And after 10 minutes of conversation, he said to me that, yeah, now that I understand this, I understand why my CTO left a couple of months ago. So I think there's a lot of value in bridging this communication gap between engineering and management.
What was that activity you did with the CEO?
I basically walked him through the Code Red findings. So I kind of explained that you have 3 categories of code in general. You have green, healthy code. That's where you want the majority of your code to be because green code is predictable and it's quick to build new capabilities on top of it. Then you have yellow code, which is the warning segment that you want to avoid, because unless you're careful there, you end up in a red category. A red code is unhealthy code with lots of technical debt and maintenance challenges, right? And then I showed him the numbers that, okay, you know, if you have red code, 10 times the uncertainty in your estimates, more than twice as slow to ship anything new, all this stuff. And then I showed him the visualizations where you could actually see his code base visualized using the techniques I use for visualizing code.
Agile Thoughts wants your help. However you find our show, be it through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation systems, go ahead and leave us a review. Click some stars, and that will help us grow the show. Thank you. Check out the show notes. And in there, you will see links to the several books that Adam Tornhill is an author of about code and design. And also, you'll find links to other things such as Adam's talk at GoTo and his TEDx talk. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy tapping. If you don't use a podcast player, well, go back to the website where you downloaded this MP3, and there you will see the show notes. Next episode, more Adam Tornhill. Can you describe a situation where you've seen or you yourself have written some beautiful code? How did its beauty contribute to its economic?
Yeah, so I like to think that beautiful code, the way it contributes to the economics of software, is that when you really, really pull it off, what happens is that you save a lot of time when trying to understand that code. And trying to understand that code is something that we have to do over and over as software engineers, because most of the code we write isn't done, right? It's code that we're going to return to at some point in time. And it turns out that where we as developers spend most of our time is not in writing code. It's about understanding existing code so that we can safely make modifications to it. And beautiful code, with the absence of ugliness, is something that contributes a lot to our code reading skills. It makes it so much easier to read healthy, beautiful code.